I'd like for you to join me in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Last week in our class, we got to talking about humility. And this week, we got to talking about pride. But I thought it might be good for us to look at Philippians 2 and consider three things that humility will do. Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 and comment just a little bit and then go on down through there, break things up some. But verses 1 through 4 say, therefore, if there is any consolation, and maybe other translations would say encouragement there, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul knows that there is encouragement in Christ Jesus. He's saying here, we know that. Therefore, if there is, there is comfort in Christ Jesus. There's encouragement in him. Paul has experienced the comfort of love. He has been led by the Spirit all through the journeys of his life for Christ, and he realizes the affections and the mercies that come from being a Christian. He is just wanting the brethren and us too to realize that we have these great characteristics to assist us. We have the encouragement in Jesus. We have love and mercy and grace, all these things to build us up to do what? Paul is wanting us to be united. United in Jesus. He says here that we should be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, and be of one mind. And this isn't the first time that Paul has encouraged unity or commanded unity. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, Paul says there, to be of the same mind toward one another. And he implored a couple sisters later on in the book of Philippians in chapter 4 to be of the same mind in the Lord. And again in verse 16 of chapter 3, we are encouraged to walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. Without unity, brethren, there is what? Division. Without unity, there is division. So, how do we do this? What is it that can really help us become united in Christ Jesus? What's the power behind it? What can make us stick together like glue? About a year ago this time when we went to Eminence, we crashed our camper, had a big gaping hole in the top of it from where that pole hit it. You remember the story, but anyway, Brother James gave me some flex tape. And I got to use flex tape for the first time. That's amazing stuff. And you put it on there, it's there. And if you try taking it off, it's going to destroy whatever's beneath it. And then recently, this spring, we bought a swimming pool to redo our swimming area at home and had to put a new liner in it. Now, sometimes you get what you pay for. I bought something offline, you know. It was kind of worth the money. It wasn't worth the money. I poked a hole in it. So I got some Gorilla Tape. It's underwater Gorilla Tape stuff and put on that. Man, it really sticky. It worked really well for about a week. And then 10,000 gallons of water. 35, 40 seconds? Gone. It was a river going down. It was amazing. Yeah, the water company called me and said, hey, you've been using a lot of water. Yeah, I have. Anyway, that's really good sticky glue, really good stuff to help things stick together. Amazing products, better than duct tape ever thought of being. What is it that can help us stick together, can give us the unity that we need to have in Christ Jesus? It's humility. It's being humble, humbling ourselves in the sight of God and toward one another. Verse number 3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem each other better than himself." Lowliness of mind. No selfishness or conceit or excessive pride. No excessive pride in oneself. Only through humility can we look out for one another. If I cannot humble myself as God wants me to, I'm going to be thinking about me, not about you. So I have to humble myself in order to share with you, to give to you, and to be there with you. It's only through humility that we can exhort others instead of me. Romans 12, 16, where Paul said there that we need to be of one mind toward one another. He goes on to say in the same verse, "Do not set your mind on high things." Some translations may say prideful things. Don't set your mind on those things that you think are good for you. High things. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Ouch. Ouch. I get to thinking about who I am and who I am in my church family and in Christ Jesus. And am I humble? Have I humbled myself to the extent that I can serve you? We can be united together? Or I'm just thinking about me. And maybe the wisdom that we have gained over life experiences and the knowledge that we've gained through the Bible, we have put it into practice and it's become a prideful thing. It's not about you, but rather it's about me. And that's not what Christ Jesus or God wants. Do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. That's what Jeremiah told Baruch in Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5. Do you seek great things for yourself? Don't. Don't do that. If my mind is focused on high things, the prideful things, I'm building myself up in pride and conceit. Do I see myself as wise, or am I really just selfish? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. They will receive what? A reward. So the first point, the point this morning is that humility will unite. Humility, being humble toward one another, will bring us together and be able to unite us and stick us together like that flex tape. So go forth and do great things, brethren, right? Is this all we need? No. Sometimes we get the application, but we need to put it into practice, but we need a little help doing so. So that's why Paul goes on here to talk about the greatest example of humility that has ever walked this earth, and that is Jesus. He goes on in verse number 5 to say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Consider the word form for just a little bit. Jesus was found in the form of God. The form of God. Now, I can sign a form, right? I can form an opinion. I can form up a wall. You can see the form of a tree. And the boss is in fine form today, isn't he? All kinds of different uses for the word form. So what are we talking about here whenever Jesus is in the form of God? It puts him at the same position as God. He is God. They are equal. That's who Jesus is, in the form of God. They are one in that form. Jesus is God, and they are equal. The Lord said to my Lord, They were talking to one another. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus was in a position of authority in heaven as God. Okay? But then the next part of this verse, verse number six, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Here's some of the other translations that you might read, how they state this. There's three or four of them. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. More or less the same thing. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to, grasped, cling to, taking advantage of. Who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. The part of this verse really shows us how Jesus could have behaved in the form of God, in a position of authority, as God himself. What could he have done? How could he have lived? And this tells us how he actually did live. He could have come to the earth and demanded every single person to grovel in front of him as being God. He could have expected strict obedience in every single way and commanded that. Instead of treating others as his servants, rather he became a servant to the people who he had created. He instead came humbly as a servant, giving his life to serve others. Yes, Jesus did not grasp or hold on to his authority to benefit him. He rather humbled himself to become my servant. He didn't use that authority. Now, did Jesus lose his authority? Absolutely not. He had power on earth as it was in heaven. But he was willing to humble himself to serve others. So if you read verse 7 again, he said, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So Jesus took that form of a bondservant. His form changed because of his humility. Because of his willingness to humble himself, he changed from the form of God to the form of a bondservant. He's still God, but this is who he acted as on this earth. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, it says this. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10. But in the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use your gifts that you have been blessed with to humbly serve each other, as Christ has served us. Humble yourself so that you will form into an obedient servant. That's point number two. Point number three, coming from verses 9 through 11, Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God, of God the Father. So what was the result then of Jesus' humility? He was exalted. So many times I'm looking to exalt myself, right? That's that pride thing again. I try to think that my wisdom, my knowledge, and my capabilities is exalting me, when rather my humility is what will truly exalt me. God gave Jesus a name above all names, a name that all should bow and all should confess that he is Lord. He is high and he is lifted up because of his humility. And James would tell us in James 4 and 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Third point this morning was that humility will exalt you. So the three things that we can find from Philippians chapter 2 to help us understand humility better is, one, that humility will unite us. It will bring us together. It will stick us together in Christ Jesus. But we have to humble ourselves before God and one another in order for that to take place. The second point was that humility can change me. It can form me into something completely different than who I am. It doesn't change me, but it changes what I am. So humility will form you into an obedient servant. And third, if you humble yourself, you will be blessed. You will be exalted by the most important, and that is God. Those are my thoughts this morning. If you have a need this morning, maybe you have some pride issues. We all do. Maybe you have a sin issue. In order for those sins to be given to God, to Jesus, to take those sins away, what do we have to do? Humble ourselves, don't we? It is a very humble step that we take when we say, Jesus, help me. I need your blood to wash away my sins. And whenever we make that step, Jesus is glad to be there to catch us, as we talked about this morning, in our sins and forgive us. If you have a need, why don't you come forward as we sing a song of encouragement.